Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Morning. Are you all right? I hope you are. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Fighting fit. Raring to go for the day ahead. It hasn't even ticked past 8 a.m. on my clock. It's 7:59 in the a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. On Wednesday, the 25th of February, in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry, who isn't all that little. How are you, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good. Great. And you are the glorious band, The Chosen Few. My band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. With you, it really isn't a thing. Should we just get straight into it then, without any further ado? A little bit of a slow news day. Probably one of the slowest news days I've had so far on Breakfast with Beau. Although not crazily slow. It's not like we're really scraping the bottom of the slop barrel for anything of interest, but there's just not any sort of crazy new things. It's a bit of a Mandy day again, a little bit, but let's get into it. Let's see what the corporate mainstream media is trying to pump directly into your eyeballs and brain box, make you think is important or isn't important. What are they lying to you by omission about this morning? All right, Fleet Street, the papers, the front page of the papers, they say US shuns war anniversary and Prince of Darkness. That's the Zelensky in Ukraine had sort of a war memorial ceremony thing for the 4-year anniversary of the war, and the US didn't turn up. Quite a few world leaders went, but Trump didn't, or sent anyone else to go, like Rubio or something. That's that. And Prince of Darkness, just again, a reference to Mandy. It's another Mandy day, kind of, half, mostly. All right, there was the State of the Union, you know, where the Prez does a big speech to Congress and everyone, sets out their sort of, supposed to kind of usually sort of sets out their legislative program going forward, but it's also just a bit of a chance to boast and big yourself up, big up your administration and things. Different presidents use it a bit differently, actually. It's changed over the, it's changed over the centuries, really. Exactly what it's used for, but anyway, we had one. So there's a bit of detail about that. That's probably the biggest thing in the news, as far as I'm concerned, is that we had the State of the Union yesterday. All right, the Financial Times. There you go. There's the Kiev's candles. U.S. shuns war anniversary. Look, there's Zelensky. There's the von der Leyen woman and a whole bunch of other world leaders. But no Trump. I'm pretty sure Sir Keir Starmer didn't go. Because he'll be in Prime Minister's questions today. That'll be interesting, won't it? The first time they'll be able to ask questions to him since the Mandy and Andy arrest. So look, watch PM's cues today. It could be a good one. Probably will be a good one. All right, as the Financial Times, they talk about stocks and things, but we won't go into that. It's a bit dry, isn't it? Most people out there, they haven't got any money to play with, to invest. And if your job isn't actually in banking or asset management or something, it doesn't really affect you, does it? All right. The Daily Star. What slop have we got here? Okay. MPs to release Andy files. Prince of Darkness. There you go. Andy arrest over flight risk. So these are the big data points, is that Mandy came out, not himself, through his lawyers, said, like actually released some sort of statement for the first time. And it was just really to say, not to admit any guilt or anything like that, but just to say that apparently the reason why the cops swooped on him yesterday in the afternoon was because that they, the cops, feared that he was a flight risk. They thought he would just flee the country, basically. I mean, where he'd go, who knows? Tel Aviv? Jerusalem? I don't know. the fifth Baron Rothschild's yacht. I don't know, where would he go? But he said, that's ridiculous. I would never flee. I'm not going to flee. It was like a baseless, as far as the cops are concerned, it was a baseless fear. That's what Mandy has said. So that's one of the biggest data points this morning about Mandy. It's not a massive thing, is it? MPs also yesterday in the House of Commons. The various MPs, that Bryant fella, sort of hit out at Andy and Mandy a bit. Particularly Andy, and said that they would release all the files. Number 10 have got all sorts of files. And they said they will completely cooperate with the police. Good, I mean, there should be no question about that, of course. Of course. But anyway, they confirmed that they actually definitely would. So that's something. Andy and Mandy, but particularly Andy at this stage, is really getting thrown under the bus, isn't he? I'm here for it. Not that he doesn't deserve it. But he's really getting thrown under the bus from every possible angle. He's sort of the sacrificial lamb, isn't he, a bit? Don't let it get to Nathaniel Rothschild. Guys, keep talking about Mandy and Andy. Don't mention the fifth Baron Rothschild. Yeah? Got it? Yeah? Don't say a word about him. Don't print a picture of him. Don't print a picture of his yacht or anything. Russell Brand there. He's in a bit of hot water, isn't he? Old Russ. He might go to prison for a long time. He might not. He might be found completely innocent. I don't know. But he might go to prison for the rest of his life. He's in a bit of hot water. I doubt he'd go to prison for the rest of his life if he's found guilty. But I don't know. He's up on quite a lot of serious charges. I'll say a couple of words about Russell Brand, actually. This is a little bit of a slow news day. Why not? I've met Russell Brand briefly a couple of times. Once in the street in Covent Garden, back when he used to work for MTV Dance. Anyone remember this? Anyone know anything about... Any Russell Brand fans out there? Okay, he used to be a presenter for MTV Dance, and he'd walk up to people, sometimes in clubs when they were high on drugs, but sometimes just on the street, sometimes at a festival. He'd walk up to them, and he'd do that gish-gash thing, the thing he could do where he talks really, really fast, really, really fluently and lucidly, really fast. And the other person, like a normal person, who's not even ready for it, is like just like a deer in the headlights, doesn't get it, doesn't understand. And he's like bamboozling them, making them look a little bit silly, making himself look a little bit silly. It's funny, it worked. And I see him doing that to someone in the street in Covent Garden one day. It was like 2003 or something, years ago. And I said to him, oh, you're Mr. Fast, as I walked past, I was like, oh, you're Mr. Fast Talker, aren't you? I think I said. And because he's from the same neck of the woods as me, he's from like Thurrock or Grays. It's in Essex. It's near ish, where I grew up, near Lakeside. I could get the bus to Lakeside, where I grew up, Romford. Anyway, and he was like, "Oh, come over and talk to me." And I shouted back to him. I didn't stop walking. I was like, "No, you'll make me look stupid." I briefly met him another time in HMV in Oxford Street when he was signing some DVDs. And I just went up to him and I said something about West Ham because he's a West Ham supporter as well, as am I. I think I said something about West Ham. I can't even remember briefly. Anyway, I've always thought he was kind of funny. Like, his stand-up is not bad. Not exactly barrel laughs all the way through, is it? He's not sort of a real comedy genius, is he? But he's quite funny. I always thought he was quite funny and quite entertaining. Obviously don't agree with his politics at all. Hardly at all. But as a commentator, it also wasn't bad, right? Even though he's a bit of a lefty and a Christian now, loads of his other views were pretty good. He had some good views on, like, the world order and COVID and all sorts of things. So once again, on the political side of things, I don't think he's brilliant and I follow everything he says and agrees with everything he says, but quite liked him. That's where I am with Russell Brand. I'm not a Brand hater. But I never thought he was absolutely amazing. All right. There you go. So I'm not here to dunk on him or gloat that he's in very deep water. Or I'm not here to stand for him either. He didn't do nothing. Our Russ, he's innocent. I don't know if he's innocent. He might not be. I don't know. Anyway, he's up on loads of charges, isn't he? Like 3-4 different charges of, like, sexual assault or even rape. like two or three different incidents, two or three or four different women. I mean, yeah, if he's found guilty of all those things, and if the judge is like a badass hanging judge who wants to throw the book at him, he could get 20 years, 30 years, if he's found guilty of all those things. I don't know. So, okay. Over the next few months, his trial will play out, I imagine, or the next few weeks at least. By this summer, he could just be completely exonerated and back making his YouTube videos. Or he could be in jail for a very, very long time. There you go, Russell Brand. I guess I'll reserve judgment until the court decides. Right, well, The Guardian, ugh, that Bake Off hijabi woman, ugh. Gross. Not interested in anything she's got to say about anything. On food, faith and finding her voice, don't care. Like The Guardian, ugh, oh, we didn't do the disdain cam, Harry. Ugh. All right, Manston hits out at police for arrest over claims of flight risk. Yeah, the police thought he was imminently going to flee the country. And he says that's absurd. That was absurd. Should have been arrested anyway. Days ago, weeks ago even. All right. Zelensky appeals to Trump to visit Kiev. Just don't care about Zelensky. Care about the misery of the average innocent Ukrainian person. I don't care about Zelensky himself, his political position. Who is he, really? Zelensky, who is he, deep, like, you know, really? Where'd he come from, exactly? How did he make that transition from just being a TV comedy person, an entertainer, to the president of Ukraine? Have a look into it. Check it out for yourself. Do your own reading. Nearly half of ill people avoid GPs, survey finds. Yeah, it's sort of interesting, mildly interesting for Brits anyway, that often the service is so bad that you just get on with it. You don't even bother going to the GP, the general practitioner, the normal doctor. You just go to the pharmacy and just buy over-the-counter stuff and just get on with it, unless it's really bad, something really bad. And if it's really, really bad, you go to hospital, so... Thing is about a GP, it's almost like potluck. It depends where you live. If you live in a relatively rural area, relatively low population density area, and your GP is a very good professional one, then your service may well be not bad at all. It may well be that you can ring up the GP or go to the GP and be seen that day, no problem, the vast majority of the time. Other places in cities where we've been packed in like sardines with millions of new arrivals, it's very difficult to get an appointment to see the GP at all. You might have to wait days. Well, that's no good, is it? What's the point of that? If you need to be seen quickly, that's no good. You have to wait days. Live in one of the cities where they've just literally crammed in hundreds of thousands of new people into your city, if you live in one of the big cities. And you need to see the GP. And they've got some crazy system now, usually, where you have to ring up at the stroke of 8 a.m. and hope you're first in the queue, the phone queue, to even get the possibility of a chance of hope of seeing the GP that day. Otherwise, it's just no. And, of course, it's completely swamped. The phone line, the GP, is completely swamped. Largely by new arrival people. People just come over from wherever. Nigeria, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Iraq, Syria, on and on, anywhere. And they're endlessly trying to use the NHS. Dentists, GPs, etc, etc. Because they're here on a grift. So a normal person like you or I is properly ill. And you can't see the GP. Brilliant. Thanks for that, Blair. Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, Boris. Thanks, May. Thanks, Rishi. Millions must go. Aim high, vote low. Millions must go. So yeah, it turns out just nearly half of ill people avoid the GP. You're just like, I feel really ill. I might even have full-blown, like, flu or something. I won't be able to see the GP because the system is broken, because we've been flooded by immigrants, legal or otherwise. So I guess I'll just go to Boots and just buy some over-the-counter stuff. Hope it works. Great, brilliant. Brilliant. Well done, Runnymede Trust. Well done. Well done. Thanks for that. Thanks for this. It's great. It works, doesn't it? It works great, doesn't it? The Times, the venerable Times. A Manderson flight risk fiction led to my arrest, says Mandy. It's a fiction all along. Was it the police? I obviously don't know one way or another, but was it? The police just, it suddenly popped into their head one that day. They suddenly thought, oh, Mandy might be a flight risk. Well, let's go around and arrest him right now. Came out of nowhere, did it? That's completely baseless, is it? That's what Mandy's saying. It's completely baseless. Is it? Why would it be? They literally dreamed it up out of nowhere. Unlikely, isn't it? I wouldn't flee police over Epstein, says Peer. Labour agrees to release Andrew envoy files. Okay, good. Blitz courts and juryless trials to clear case backlog. Yeah, why, again, I said it yesterday, why have we got such a giant backlog in the courts? Again, is it because of mass immigration, legal or otherwise, from countries where the crime rate per capita is through the roof? So if you let hundreds of thousands of them in, or millions of them in, then our crime rate spikes, and therefore the backlog on courts spikes. I mean, that is what it is, isn't it? That is exactly what it is. But we can't talk about that. No, Lammy wouldn't talk about that. It's racist of me even to talk like that, isn't it? Racist. Bigoted. I just can't stand people that are brown. No, that's the reality. That's the reality of what's going on here. We're not allowed to notice reality. Well, the globalists would have it that way, wouldn't they? You're not allowed to notice it, much less say anything about it. Dare you say anything about it? Bigot. Not going to last forever. Good luck with that, globalists and leftists and communists and traitors. Good luck with that whole angle, that whole dynamic, because it's not going to last forever. Keep playing that card while you can, I suppose. It's not going to last forever. The Daily Telegraph, the Torygraph. Well, there's a picture of Imogen Stubbs there. She used to be absolutely gorgeous, absolutely lovely. It's looking a little bit... Oh, there, well, that's what happens. That's what happens. I always think that's really unfair, actually. I just did it, didn't I? But I think it's really unfair in the news or in anything. When they say, look at this person who was beautiful in like 1982 and look at them now. They're all old and horrible now. It's like, yeah, because they're in their 60s or something now. Yeah, that's what happens. When you get old, you become less pretty, less handsome. Yeah, that's what happens. Look at this woman that was in Top Gun 1 and now she's all old and haggard and fat. Yeah, I mean, because she's old now, yeah. It's not really her fault. You can't... It's very, very rare that people get into their old age and still look good. It's very rare. As I mentioned Top Gun, didn't I? Tom Cruise is one of those weird people that looks almost identical. I see the Top Gun remake the other day. He looks really similar. He looks pretty similar to what he did in the 80s. I don't know. Is he getting those blood transfusions? Is he getting those Epstein blood boy transfusions? I don't know. Far be it from me to actually allege that. You've got to be very, very lucky with your genes to still look... G-E-N-E-S genes. You've got to be very lucky with those to still look good in your 50s and 60s and 70s. So, but yeah, Imogen Stubbs, not so good anymore. All right. Manderson held to stop him fleeing Britain. Okay, right, we've done that there. Council tax rises to fund 20 miles per hour zones. It's weird, they did that in Wales, didn't they, where they wanted to make this, or have, I think, in some parts of Wales at least, made the speed limit 20 miles per hour. that's obviously really, really slow, isn't it? Sort of weirdly slow. If you ever drive your car at 20 miles an hour, it feels painfully slow, doesn't it? Even at 30 miles an hour, it seems pretty slow, doesn't it? I mean, I get it for built-up areas or on the road directly where there's a school or a primary school on that road, maybe have the speed limit super low and loads of speed bumps. Other than that, just normal roads at 20 miles per hour. Why? It's actually really inefficient for fuel as well. If they're worried about emissions, there's more emissions if you drive at 20 miles an hour in a petrol car. Anyway. All right. What else have we got then? Let's have a look. The IR paper. Do they go with Mandelson or they go with Andrew? There you go. Minister attacks rude and arrogant Andrew in historic Commons rebuke. MPs vote to release files on Royal's appointments as trade envoy, but police block number 10 memos over Mandelson and Epstein. Okay, interesting. I wonder how long that will last before they do another U-turn. Simon can't stop doing U-turns, isn't he? He's the U-turn Prime Minister. On another dramatic day, it's not that dramatic, is it? On another dramatic day, centred on the Epstein scandal, don't mention Nathaniel Rothschild, Trade Minister Chris Bryant launches unprecedented political attack on Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. He was, quote, a man on a constant self-aggrandizing and self-enriching hustle. Sounds about right. Mandelson's lawyers claim his arrest was prompted by a, quote, baseless, quote, belief that he was a flight risk and planning to leave the country for the British Virgin Isles. Oh, that's where he was. That's where they feared he was going. They dreamed that up out of nowhere, did they? And the police were just like, we think Mandelson's going to flee specifically to the British Virgin Isles. There's no reason why we think that. There's literally no evidence or reason or anything. There's no rationale to that. This just popped into our heads this morning. That doesn't make sense, does it? That's not likely, is it? Or was he going to go to Richard Branson's island? Was he just going to go and go to Little St. James on his own? Sit in that weird white and blue building on his own, hugging his knees, rocking backwards and forwards? Okay. Former ambassador has been bailed on suspicion of misconduct in public office. All right, we get it. Okay, The Sun. Is there anything else in The Sun? I've got a picture of Mandy there. Oh, Andrew. So, there, as I say earlier, he's like the sacrificial lamb and they're trying to punish him. So this is a little story. It's kind of slop. Well, it is slop, but Andrew, like most royals, if not all royals, I would have thought, they're horsey people. Right? They love horses. Andrew loves riding and quite often, hasn't it been over the last few weeks or months, that whenever he comes outdoors to just ride around one of the estates, whatever estate he's on, that's when the paparazzi telephoto lenses can get a snap of Andrew. And they usually wait until at a certain point he might smile or laugh. And then they snap him. And it's like, Andrew's living it up. Andrew's having a good time. Andrew's unrepentant. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So they want to put a stop to that. Warning over bad look. Get off your high horse, Andy. Arrested ex-prince banned from riding. Well, it's only a self-imposed ban. It's not like there's been an act of parliament that says Andy can't ride a horse. But the palace, the royal family, I suppose, are basically just saying, look, they keep doing this. They keep snapping you when you go out riding. And quite often will have you manage to get an expression on your face where you look happy or at least unrepentant or whatever. We've got to put a stop to that. It's a bad look. I mean, they're not wrong, the optics of it. But again, it's just like stealing away from Andrew. Not that I've got any sympathy or pity for him. Don't get me wrong, I haven't. But taking away from him more and more things, even like just what he obviously likes to do is just go out and have a little trot around the estate on a horse. Now you can't do that anymore either. Think of Thomas More in prison and then they take his books away. It's like the last thing I liked. The only thing I've got left, really. You're going to take that away from me. All right. Did I just compare Prince Andrew to Thomas More? There's no parallels there, really, are there? Or the Daily Mail, pure slop, really. Well, this gives you an idea, doesn't it? The middle-class mothers prepping for war with Putin. Get real. Get real. Come on. Come on. The world's biggest nuclear arsenal and British middle-class mums are going to go prepping for it, are they? This woman, whoever she is, no idea who that is. She got anything to say of value about war? No, she hasn't. No. Don't know who she is, but no, she hasn't. Greens plan to hand illegal migrants free house and wage and NHS care. Yeah, they're mad. The Greens are mad. Anyone out there that's an environmentalist that's been working for or with the Green Party for a while and you really care about environmentalism, wake up. Your party and your movement has been completely subverted and infiltrated by insane communists and Islamists. People that want to ruin this country. They don't care about environmentalism. They won't care about environmentalism at all. Like they're hell-bent on destroying the fabric of our society. So don't vote Green. Yeah? Wake up! God damn you, wake up! Yeah, so there you go. Already pro-drugs and porn, now Polanski's party wants world without borders. I mean, it's been their policy all along, hasn't it? Borderless. To destroy the country. Right? Legalise all drugs. Make access to any and all porn completely free. You know, the whole trans thing. Trans kids, yeah. Right, and give illegal migrants a free house, a wage, and NHS care. So destroy our economy and housing market and everything. Just destroy it all. For what? For why? Because that's their ultimate plan. That Zach Polanski is insane, an insane person. A loony. A loony. It's not about environmentalism, volunteers for the Green Party. Yeah? You're just a boomer who leaflets for the Green Party and you've got solar panels on your roof and you put your rubbish in all different bins and you care about pollution and the atmosphere. Yeah, the Green Party of Great Britain is not your friend. Don't be fooled by it. They don't care about you on the environment at all. You get it? You get it? You're going to need to get it quite soon. Police feared Mandelson was about to flee to the British Virgin Isles. For no reason, according to Mandy's lawyers. All right, the Mirror. Proper slop, the Mirror. Sloppy. Real sloppy Joe crud is the Mirror. Exclusive. XPM's warning. This is Gordon Brown, texture like sun, has said, why we must stop reform. Gordon Brown. Weren't you an utter failure, Gordon Brown, as a Prime Minister? Until the likes of Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak, wasn't your premiership a laughingstock? An example par excellence of poor leadership, Gordon Brown. Oh, but we must stop reform. Right, okay, Gordon Brown. Okay, Gordon Brown, who made endlessly poor decisions in government. He's the type of person, isn't he? He's Gordon Brown. Well, you can't deny that he's not well-educated. You can't deny... You couldn't say that he's a full sort of idiot, like a moron, like David Lammy or Angela Rayner or something. You can't say that about Gordon Brown, right? That's not fair. That's not correct. But did make endlessly bad decisions in government, though. Was not a leader in a true sense, right? A leader of men. Someone whose leadership shines out of them. He was a dour little Scotsman. But now you want to come out of the cobwebs and tell us what we're supposed to vote for or not. Now shut up. Get lost. All right. It does look like, I was looking at polls just yesterday. All the polls, I found a website that had like showed the results of a dozen different polls for this by-election that's coming up, Galton and Denton, in the Manchester region. And every single poll had Reform ahead. So it's tomorrow, right? The actual vote's tomorrow. So we'll find out the result, what, late tomorrow night? Maybe in the wee hours of Friday morning. I don't know. But on Friday morning, on the Beau Show, on Friday, we'll have the result. Should do, anyway. Unless they have to do a number of recounts or something. Should have the result on Friday morning. Probably, Containment Shield, Matt Goodwin will win. Probably. Why we must stop reform, though, says Gordon Brown. He's still the best option, right? Cog in the containment machine that he is, in my opinion. It's still better to have him than a Green or the Labour, surely. That's the nature of politics, isn't it? You quite often have to make a choice of who's the least worst. Still, reform and Goodwin will, whether it's on the level or not, will still move the Overton window ever so slightly to the right, move it ever so slightly away from crazy Greens. So, much to my own chagrin, I would still prefer Matt Goodwin to win over anyone else. Not that I'm a fan of Matt Goodwin himself. I think I've made that perfectly clear. I still think he really believes the things he said years ago when he used to write for Hope Not Hate or work for Hope Not Hate. But there you go. Despite all of that, it's still going to be better than that crazy blonde green lady. Seen the candidate for the Greens? That champagne socialist liar. She seems to be a liar. She seems to have said lots of things that are just simply untrue. Like that she's a plumber and stuff. Weird things. All right, Labour grandee, Gordon Brown, texture like sun, says poorer children will suffer the most. Will they? What are you talking about? What? What, if Matt Goodwin wins in Galton and Denton, poorer children will suffer the most? What are you talking about? Farage also plans to cut rights to workers and renters. I doubt it. I doubt it. All right, the Metro. The Metro. Rank. One of the rankest rags in the land. All right, what do they say? Minister fights violence against women. Tough porn crackdown to tackle abuse. Okay, all right, fine. The Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. Kemi warns. Do we care what Kemi says? All right, go on then. What does it say? Kemi warns, no child is safe from social media. Oh, just have a blanket ban on things then, eh? Just curtail freedom of speech and expression then, I guess. Cheers, Kemi. Nigerian woman, Kemi Badenoch there. Pretending she's one of us. It's a cuckoo in the nest. Not one of us. She's a Nigerian person. Experts call for action as people are going without care they need. Half of adults avoid going to GP for help. All right, we've talked about that a little bit, haven't we? And there's the Prince of Darkness. Prince of Darkness Mountain going home. All right, those are the papers. Let's have a look at a poll. What did we do on our poll today? Harry, bring it up on my screen. Engage. All right, we asked, do you care if Ukraine loses the Donbass region? Now, just say, I don't care about that, right? I think I've made that pretty clear. Don't care. People say, oh, I've had one or two comments, Beau shouldn't talk about Ukraine and Russia because he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, I have studied the region, the history of the region, going back to late antiquity. I've got long-form content about it. I can prove that. I'm not just saying that. There's proof. Hours of content of proof. Talking about going back to the Kievan Rus or whatever. Talking about the 19th and 20th century in a fair amount of detail. Okay. Do I care if the Donbass region falls under the auspices of the Kremlin, of Moscow or Kiev? No, I don't really care about that. certainly not prepared to spend billions of our money or a single life of an Englishman on it. So no, I don't care. Now, what did you guys say? Boom, a cool 83% of you. Nearly 1,200, or just ticked up to 1,200 votes. 83% of you say no, you don't care about that. 9% say maybe, and 9% say yes. All Ukrainians, I guess. We've got 9% Ukrainians. Now, they did a psyop on you to make you care about Ukraine. Why should you? Unless you are, in fact, Ukrainian. If you are, in fact, a Ukrainian nationalist, fair enough. Otherwise, why would you? Why, okay. Okay. So another stonking win for Bodade and his audience, his the chosen few, his band of brothers and sisters. All right, let's have a look at the let's have a look at the websites. One day we're going to have a falling out. One day the poll will be at stark odds with my view. It's going to happen one day. Kind of looking forward to it. I wonder what it will be about. All right, let's have a look here then. Okay, the BBC. What have we got? Oh, household energy bills to fall by £117 a year in April. And then, but actually only for some places, maybe, is the story. Plus, £117 a year. I mean, I'll take it. Who doesn't want an extra £117 in your pocket? Right, who's going to say no to that? But it's not exactly the story, is it? It's like you're already robbing us of loads more money. So once again, the analogy of a thief steals, what, £1,000 off of you and then gives you £120 back. And you're supposed to be like, yay, thanks. I'm a winner out of this now. No, you're not. No, you're not. The energy that people in Britain pay is mad. It's mad how much it is. If you've got a big house, you've got a really big house and you have to heat it up thoroughly all the time, it's going to cost you loads, let alone if you've got a business. It's going to cost loads. Luckily, I've just got a little flat and often I'll just put on more layers. I grew up poor. I grew up very nearly dirt poor. And so I grew up, if it was cold, you just told, put another jumper on then. Stop whining. Stop whinging. Put another jumper on. Put your coat on indoors. Put your coat on then. So I was just used to being a bit cold or just putting more layers on. Yeah. Character building. Just be cold indoors in winter in Britain. All right. Get in bed early. Get a hot water bottle. That's one kettle's worth of energy. A hot water bottle. Just hug the hot water bottle. Okay. Trump hails economy and threatens Iran in longest ever State of the Union. Yes, I mentioned it earlier, didn't I? There was a State of the Union address yesterday. The longest one ever, apparently. It was like an hour and 50 odd minutes long. I didn't watch it. Often I do. In fact, I might watch it today. Most years I'll watch the State of the Union. I didn't watch it yesterday, but I've seen clips and I've seen synopses of it and various things. Various analysis of it. So apparently it's the longest one ever. They're usually long. I mean, an hour and 50. They're usually not far off of that. They're nearly always over an hour. Anyway, it's the longest ever one. He talked a bit about Iran, sort of threatening them again, or just saying, look, just fall in line, otherwise we've got to do what we've got to do. Talked about the economy loads. He said it was, what was one of the things he said? He said it was a turnaround for the ages, like from the Biden years, the Bidenomics, Mr. Biden's inflation, that Trump's turned all of that around, and it's a turnaround for the ages. What did he obviously say? He said things like, it's America's golden age, it's a new golden age for the United States, things like that. Oh, he poured scorn on the Democrats, saying that they should be ashamed of themselves, which they really should, for not helping, not backing his policy on immigration crackdown and the ICE and all that sort of stuff. Perhaps predictably, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar heckling him from the stands, from the seats. They've got absolutely no shame, have they? No shame. It's supposed to be It's not the sort of thing where you should heckle ever. Like shouting out back at him. What shameless scumbags. Analysis. Trump issues patriotic rally cry with eye on crucial elections. Well, the midterms aren't too far away, are they? Alright, what else have we got? Okay, let's move on to the ITV. Was there anything? That picture is funny, isn't it? They're both so pleased with themselves. I believe this picture was taken shortly after Mandy was announced as ambassador to the US. They're both so pleased with themselves, aren't they? So funny. It's so funny. Councils leave children as young as four sleeping on the streets. Yeah, because we're packed. Look at these. Look, they're just random children, are they? Just random children left on the streets. No, these are economic migrants. Yeah, and we haven't got enough council houses. There's not enough council homes. But you still just open borders. To this day, right now, the policy of Great Britain is essentially open borders. There's no cap on migration numbers. None. They're not stopping the small boats. And as for legal migration, there's no policy at all to cap it. Where the debate is now is that any talk of that is racist and evil and wrong, small-headed, bigoted, small-minded, Little Englander type, selfish, to even talk about putting any number on the cap of migrants. Oh, but children have to sleep, economic migrants... children have to sleep on the streets today because we've got no more council houses or flats or whatever for them. They just have to live in tents. If they're lucky to get a tent. We'll just fill London. We'll just fill the streets of London with tents. It's mad, isn't it? Mad. What is going on? Well, we know what's going on, isn't it? It's people like Hope Not Hate or the Runnymede Trust. They want to destroy this country. They want to destroy it. They're hell-bent on it, in fact. A little bit of the fallout from the that BAFTA guy, the guy with Tourette's. If anyone doesn't remember the story, there's a guy with Tourette's. A film was made about his life, living with Tourette's. And he won an award at the BAFTA, at the BAFTAs for that. But when two black fellas get up on stage, he screamed out the N-word because he's got Tourette's. They're making out that it's terrible, that it's really bad, that like that he's a racist or like the BAFTAs are racist or whatever. It's like, no, he's got Tourette's, you know. No, so he's got Tourette's though. You're failing to understand. Your victim card, the chip on your shoulder, is bigger than your ability to understand what Tourette's is. Is that right? It's like having a pop at someone in a wheelchair for not standing up and shaking your hand. It's like, oh, what an insult. They wouldn't even stand to shake my hand. Well, they're in a wheelchair, though. Their legs don't work. What are you talking about? Having a pop at someone who's blind for not noticing you've walked into the room. Well, look, what an insult. How rude. They didn't say hello when I walked into the room. Well, they're blind, though, so... It's mad, isn't it? Mad. But yeah, loads of black people getting out of their pram about racism. This guy, he's got really bad Tourette's. A specific type of Tourette's, apparently, where it's not just a small tick, like a small tick. It's like he will say the most socially inappropriate thing. One time, a few years ago, he was lining up to shake the Queen's hand, the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. And when she gets within earshot, he says, F the Queen. Because he can't help it. Whatever the most socially inappropriate thing is, he'll just blurt it out. That's his type of Tourette's, okay? The Queen didn't mind. Everyone knew he's a Tourette sufferer, that's his thing. Everyone knew it. Didn't get in trouble for that. Because he's got a neurological problem. But no, these black people at the BAFTAs are all upset about it. About racism. Stupid, isn't it? Stupid. Their victimhood trumps all else, doesn't it? Always. Specifically them. All right. Dropping bills. Let's see what else we got. Russell Brand in court. All right, let's have a look. Was there something in the mail? I believe there was something in the mail. Look at the state of it. Look at the absolute state of it. Did she marry her brother? Did she? Did we ever get to the bottom of whether she married her brother or not? Horrible. Poor old Martin Shaw, his daughter committed suicide. And the Mail have got the 911 call about it. Well done, the Mail. Oh, well done. Like, I remember that. I remember when William Shatner's wife died. And they got, the media got a copy of him on the phone, crying into the phone. Please send an ambulance. My wife's face down in a pool or whatever. Like, it's so horrible, isn't it? Is there anything more personal than one of those moments? 911 call in tragic death of Martin Schultz. The Daily Mail has obtained the 911 call. Oh, great. Brilliant. Yeah. Oh, publish it then. Print it then. Scumbags. Absolute filth. Oh, it makes me sick. It makes me sick, that sort of thing. It really does. All right. The Express. More about the royal family. Don't really care about the royal. It's loads about the royal family, isn't it? What's this? What does Zia Yusuf, what does Mohammed got to say of this time? Small boat migrant terror warning issued as Starmer slammed over catastrophic failure. Yeah, thanks, Mohammed. Yeah, we know. Yeah, cheers. Cheers for letting us know. All right, The Sun. A couple of tiny bits of slop worth mentioning. Oh, Rose West. Rose West sexually assaulted some other inmate. But now she's back and got all her privileges back. They put her in, like, solitary confinement or took away some of her privileges, but now she's got them back. Great story. Great story. This insane triple homicide guy, decades of failure caused Nottingham attack victims' death, says families. Yeah. Yeah. Decades of subversion and anti-racism. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, to act against your own self-interests. Yeah, decades of subversion of that. Yeah, that there's something wrong with having an in-group preference for your own people. Yeah, decades of that. Going for Gorton. How events in Gaza could swing Gorton and Denton by-election for Green Party. Yeah, good luck with that. All the polls say Matt Goodwin. Who knows, though? Quite often polls can be wrong. Who knows? We'll see. I'll let you know on Friday morning. We'll see. Yeah, look. Utterly unforgivable. BAFTA judge quits over Tourette's slur row and blasts BBC. Oh, get off your high horse, mate. You understand he's got a neurological condition. You're just ignoring that, are you? You're just going to ignore that. That bit of it. Because you're so inadequate. Because you're so fragile. Sickeningly fragile. Here's the story. Very briefly to say, because it's so horrible. This guy here, this Lithuanian migrant, crashed his BMW into another car, killing a whole family. A mum, a dad, and a grown-up daughter. He got away with just cuts and bruises. They died, all three of them died. He got sentenced to about 10 years, 10 and a half years in jail, which is mad. How it's not much more than that, I don't know. He served 3 years and 1 month, and now he's out. So, he's on a cocktail of drugs as well. Sorry. So he was on a cocktail of drugs at the time of that crash. So you can take drugs, crash your car into another family, kill all three of them, and you serve 3 years in prison for that. In this country. But Sam Melia. Oh. But Sam Melia. He'll put up some stickers. That's not illegal. And he gets something like. What was it? Two and a half years. Not that much less. For that. Two tier. Massive two tier system. It's not justice, is it? How is that justice? Mad. All right, let's go across the pond to the Times, the New York Slimes, where they talk about the State of the Union. They talk all about the State of the Union. Let's, what else is the, oh yeah, the Washington Post. Well, in America, as you can imagine, the biggest thing that happened in their news cycle is the State of the Union. Look, Trump looks like he's photoshopped. I don't think he is. You ever get that these days when you see something and it is real? It is a real image, but you think that looks AI. That looks photoshopped. And you're like, oh no, it isn't. It's real. Do you ever have that? It's weird, isn't it? A bit unsettling, isn't it? Not quite sure what's real or not. A fair amount of the time. Bit worrying, isn't it? All right, let's go down under. How good? Even the Aussies are talking about the State of the Union. Was a fantastic amount. Japan, China, not much. The Ruskies, the Russian diplomat sees the UK, France flirting with Kiev over nukes. They go with the State of the Union again. All right, should we move on? The Germans, as most days in build, they're talking about mostly sloppy stuff. Mostly slop. They've got some floods as well. Pornhub, okay. El Mencho. A son stabbed his mum. Great. All right, Le Monde, the frogs. What are the froggies talking about this morning? Oh, they've got a new president of the Louvre. The Louvre. A new president of that. Hopefully they'll have less break-ins, less thefts. I know there's a lot ongoing with that Louvre break-in theft, and they've arrested a lot of people. I think the actual artifacts themselves have not been recovered. Well, lucky they're only from the 19th century and not truly ancient. Because the French themselves destroyed those jewels at the end of the 18th century, didn't they? Leftism for you. All right. Space news. Well, let's have a look at this day in history, because we're getting towards the top of the hour. Because you like that, and I like that, to finish out the show. What happened on this day, the 25th of February? What happened on this day throughout the centuries? All right. Pardon me. Tea's gone cold. I have to resort to my water. Okay. On this day, the 25th of February, in the year 1570... Pius V, Pope Pius V, excommunicates Queen Elizabeth I, good Queen Bess, Elizabeth Tudor, of England for heresy and persecution of English Catholics during her reign, and absolves her subjects from allegiance to the crown. Yeah, good one. Well done. Yeah, great. Whoa. Very nearly spilt my... Nearly. Well, did spill a bit. My cup of tea. Oh, I have to clean it up in a minute. All right. Got to be careful flailing around like Alex Phillips. Okay. Pope Pius V. Yeah, it's at this point, isn't it, during the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation in England, where we just don't really care anymore. Kind of. Because there were English Catholics, right? But the vast majority of the people is like, yeah, some Italian guy in Italy telling us we can't go to heaven anymore. Yeah, no, don't care. Don't buy it. Don't believe it. Well, it's half a millennia ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Yeah. Oh, you're going to excommunicate us, are you, for heresy? Go on then. Fine. You excommunicated King John centuries before that. We didn't particularly care then. Italian man. Little corrupt Italian man. Yeah, go on, excommunicate us, fine, whatever. We've got our own church now. Yeah, we don't need the Latin Mass in order to go to heaven. We don't need it. We don't need the Bible to be passed for us by a priest. We can read it for ourselves. Thank you very much. We don't need the papacy to tell us what individual passages mean. We'll make up our own minds about that. Thanks. Are you going to call that heresy? Go on then. Fine. Do Do it. Do what you want. We don't care anymore. You have no power over us, actually. Pope. Dear the Pope. All right. That'll piss off a lot of Catholics out there, but it's just history. Deal with it. It's history. We're a Protestant country. All right. On this day in 1836, Samuel Colt patents the first practical revolving cylinder multi-shot revolver, allowing it to fire multiple shots without reloading. Samuel Colt there. The Colt. All right. On this day in 1862, this is interesting. This is one of those things in history where you think, oh, really? It was only then. It was as late as that 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 thing happened. You know, sometimes in history you learn a factoid. You're like, oh, that's much earlier than I thought, or that's much later than I thought. Oh, this one. In 1862, the first legal tender act of 1862 is passed by the US Congress, authorising the United States greenback, the greenback dollar, into circulation. There's a picture of it, of course. And it was the first flat paper, the first fiat paper money that is legal tender in America. 1862. You would have thought it'd be earlier than that, wouldn't you? You know, unless you know all about the history of money. 1862. That's during the Civil War, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. During the Civil War, they didn't have paper money in the United States until then. It's quite late, isn't it? Well, I think it is. I think it is. Maybe you don't agree that it feels late in history. All right. On this day in 1910, the 13th Dalai Lama flees Tibet for British India to escape Chinese troops. Yeah. Oh, well. Now, I've got sympathy for Tibet. But the Dalai Lama themselves, the whole concept of the Dalai Lama, let alone the individual predilections of the current Dalai Lama, the whole concept of the Dalai Lama is a nonsense as far as I'm concerned. Still, I've got sympathy for the individual people of Tibet being oppressed by the Chinese. It wouldn't have been the communists, would it, in 1910? That still would have been the nationalists, like Chiang Kai-shek or whatever, or Sun Yat-sen, I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head, but not communists actually at that point. Anyway, to this day, a little bit of sympathy for the Tibetan people, the average Tibetan people. Okay, on this day in 1956, Nikita Khrushchev denounces Joseph Stalin at the 20th Congress of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Yeah, it's a big turning point really, isn't it? The de-Stalinization process of the Soviet Union. Denouncing Stalin, you know, saying, that whole period we went through of Stalin, yeah, we recognise now it was bad, that was pretty evil. I mean, it didn't stop the terror, the state terror. Still very oppressive single-party system under Khrushchev. Very. But not as bad as the darkest days of Stalin. And even Khrushchev. It was mainly... It's actually more cynical than it seems. You might think, oh, Khrushchev's just a good guy then. That was like sort of the moral correct thing to do. That was sort of right. Quite as simple as that. In fact, Khrushchev was still trying to outmaneuver his political opponents, his political enemies. And he had calculated correctly, it turns out, really, that in order to, because there was a party, a faction in the Kremlin that was super hardline pro-Stalin. Still, even after Stalin's death. And he had to outmaneuver them. And he eventually decided one of the ways to do it is to come out in public and denounce Stalin in order to undermine them. Because, of course, Khrushchev was at the heart of government, more or less, at various points. He was at the heart of government during the Stalin years, so he's responsible for it, at least in part, isn't he? Wasn't he? But then he comes out and he denounces Stalin. It is still ultimately for the best, even though it's much more cynical than it first seems on the part of Khrushchev. Still, it's for the best, right? The Stalinist era in the Soviet Union, at its worst, at the height of the terror, more than one wave of terror, was nightmarish. All right, let's have a look then at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats. All right, let's have a quick look at the Rumble Rants. Kalergi says, if the Tourette's guy is shouting things that he believes are inappropriate, isn't it the one shouting, I love LGBTQ plus and minorities, we need to be watching out for? Right. Yeah, interesting. One thing I would say is if I had Tourette's or his type of Tourette's, even if invited, I probably wouldn't go to an award ceremony or probably wouldn't visit the cinema very often. Probably wouldn't go to the opera if I suffered from that type of Tourette's. But still, he was invited and he did win an award, so he had a right to be there. Yeah, it's just fake outrage. So phony outrage and victimhood, isn't it? Don't care about it. All right, Kalergi also says, I don't really get exactly what you're saying here, but... Okay, he says, Ginger Harry, Bojack, Dan Sturbed, Carl, Sad Stelios, and then ends it by saying, human lotus peed. That's not a nice image. It's quite funny. But... All right, Tomrat247 says, I lost my job as a consequence of Gordon Brown and Alistair Darling's actions and had several years of penury. I've barely emerged from now. That Ponce and his opinions can do one. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, Tomrat. Really sorry to hear that. Yeah, they can do one, right? Gordon Brown. I'm not listening to anything you've got to say. You've proved yourself time and time and time again to have bad opinions, a bad world view. Like Gordon Brown and your opinions can shuffle off, thank you very much. We tried doing it your way, didn't we? That didn't work very well. It got us invaded. It got our women folk raped on an industrial scale, Gordon Brown. Get lost. Get away from me, Gordon Brown. All right. YouTube Super Chats. Global Church History. Thanks, Global Church History, for all the Super Chats you do. You said, today, I guess in the year 138, it would be the year 138. Today in the year 138 AD, Hadrian adopts Antoninus Pius. Antoninus Pius. I sometimes pronounce that wrong. It's Antoninus Pius. Okay, some of the best emperors. Edward Gibbon says Antoninus Pius was one of the great, possibly the greatest emperor there ever was. That his age was the golden age of the Roman Empire. There's nothing better, according to Gibbon. In 493, Odoacer capitulates to Theodoric. Interesting. Yeah, another very, very interesting bit of history. That's right at the end of the Roman Empire, isn't it? Or beyond, really. Definitely beyond. In 628, Cavadar II overthrows Kershaw II, reversing Persian gains. Yeah, that's a big one as well for the Near East, isn't it? That's the Kershaw II. He was one of the big ones, like main important ones. And we're talking there. This is just before the a generation or so, isn't it? Just before the first Muslim conquests. So the Near East, at least, was sort of exhausted by those wars. That's one of the things the historians say. The reason why the Islamic hordes did so well straight away, bursting out of Arabia, is because the world was at a period of being completely exhausted. You know? Like in the age directly after the Black Death, for example, if there'd been a giant Mongolian invasion at that point, for example, it would have been a lot easier for them, wouldn't it, than one generation before that. So anyway, that's what they say about that. Okay. F Google 2 says Bo has the best morning show. You guys make it happen. It's the best morning show. What are you going to do? Watch Jeremy Kyle? Give me a break. Please. What, are you going to watch Big Fat Mike Graham? Ugh, gross. All right. Liberty Prime says, got made redundant a couple of weeks ago. I'm sorry to hear that. I've been made redundant once before. It's not nice. Got made redundant a couple of weeks ago. Thanks for giving me something to get out of bed for in the morning. Great. Let's not forget that while all this nonsense is going on, the UK economy is still effed. Yeah. Well, I hope you got a decent payout, at least, for being made redundant. As, I mean, being made redundant is still better than just being fired, because usually they'll give you a payout, right? 3 months worth of pay, or 4 months, or more, sometimes, depending, doesn't it? So, I hope you're all right, buddy. Try and get back on the wagon as quickly as possible, I would say. And definitely, you know, some make sure you there's things worth getting out of bed for. Try not to go down in a downward spiral. Get back on the horse as quickly as possible, I would say, if you can. Sorry to hear that. All right, Luke Stewart. G'day, Bo. How are you doing today? I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, fine, fit. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I was wondering if you could also read from what Dan calls the authority of the media, BBC Pigeon. Oh, yeah. I detest BBC Pigeon. At first, I found it kind of funny. Well, it is funny. Kind of is funny. So absurd that it's funny. But I kind of, even that has worn off on me now. And I just find it a pure embarrassment. Pure embarrassment. Maybe one day I will. Once or twice I might. I won't rule it out. Because it is still a bit funny, isn't it? Okay. Luke Stewart again says, on Ukraine, as soon as they can at least get peace, they can quickly join NATO and Russia will never be able to touch them. I think it's the main reason why Russia doesn't want to end the war. Interesting take. Maybe. I think NATO, I think NATO themselves don't want Ukraine in NATO because it's just that sort of creates a ticking time bomb, doesn't it? Like, put it this way. Do you want someone in your gang who you know is going to cause trouble, even if you're a criminal gang, but you know they're like a hothead and they're going to do crazy things and bring heat on you? You don't really, do you? I think that's the thinking from NATO. But nonetheless, you might be right. You might be perfectly correct there. I don't know. Interesting. Luke Stewart again says, in Australia, we have the same problem with our GPs, doctors. Sometimes you need to know you're going to be sick about 2 weeks in advance to get an appointment. Right, yeah. It's no good. I'm sick now. I need to be seen and given a prescription now. That's the nature of it. Not in a week's time. 2 weeks' time. I'll either be dead or better by then. What good is that? Yeah. Mad, isn't it? Mad. Nick Stewart again says, young and healthy Harry, could you please do a poll to see if Bo is ever sick? Can you get Dan to read BBC Pigeon articles to us instead cancelling? Yeah, I do rarely get sick. It will happen at some point. At some point the show will just be cancelled, or maybe we'll get someone else in, Josh maybe, to cover for a day. I will eventually get sick, won't I? But I don't usually get sick. I do enjoy relatively rude health most of the time. But it'll probably happen at some point. Or something else will come up, real life. There'll be some reason why I can't make it in one morning. So. But I'll try not to. I'll obviously try everything in my power to always be here for you on a weekday morning. I've got to take holiday at some point. Sort of legally, you've got to take holiday at some point. Okay. All right. What else have we got here? Luke Stewart again says, maybe it's not Putin they're prepping for, but when all British have to go fighting the war, they have to defend themselves against the non-British that are being left behind and didn't have to go to war. Right, yeah, I mean, yeah. Good point, fair point. It's like, are our first enemy really like Russian conscripts? Or is it the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of the barbarians within the gates, fighting age enemy combatants that are already here? Fair point, Luke. Okay, two last ones. I don't know how you, this, someone's got a name here that I can't read out. Radim Nemchut says, any update and or thoughts on Habib and advance? Yeah, he seems to be going completely off the rails, Ben Habib. It's just not, he's moaning about ethno-nationalism now. So, okay, you're as much an enemy as politically as Reform or the Lib Dems or Labour or Tories or anyone else then, the SNP. Yeah, all right, he's out. Not interested then. Never was interested in advance. Never joined it. Never had any intention of joining it. People in the local area for advance try and get in contact with me on the phone. Not interested. No. No, thanks. All right. And the last one, DRFYE, or Dr. Faye. I don't know how you want to say that said. They've just put, you have a morning show, air. First time I'm seeing this. Though it is 4 a.m. where I am in Canada, though. Is your show mostly general topics that interest, or is it more focused on certain topics? Oh, well, thanks for joining for the first time, and your $10 Canadian is appreciated. Yeah, watch the Beau Show, and you'll find out. Become one of the glorious band, The Chosen Few, my band of brothers and sisters. The show today is pretty much exactly what it is every day. It's deliberately the same every day. Hopefully become part of people's morning routine. Hopefully you'll learn to like the routine of it. That's the idea, right? So yeah, look at the papers, the British front pages, the papers, the print media, and then look at the news websites, and even some around the world, America, Australia, sometimes Japan and China. Russia, Germany, France. Space news, science news sometimes. This day in history. Give it a whirl. Join us. All right, that's the show. It is now 11 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Wednesday the 25th of February in the year of our Lord, 2026. You have been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. It really isn't. It's just me babbling into the void, isn't it? So really appreciate you tuning in, as always. Pardon me. Try and make the best of the day ahead. You've only got it once. You've got a finite number, a limited number of days on this earth. You'll only have this day once. Try and make it count. Carpe diem. Seize the day if you can. I know it's not always possible, but if you can, make the most of the day ahead. All right then, until tomorrow morning. Take care.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.